It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Happy New Year. Like I said, Happy New Year. Here we are. I suspect one of the few, if not only, live progressive broadcasts on the air on this New Year's afternoon. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is a brand new arbitrarily designated year. It is the first day of January 2020. Had to think about it, didn't we? Yes, well, at least I did. We'll have a little cussing and discussing this afternoon, just as a break from everything else that's been going on. I guess some people still watch the parades and things like that. And I took in a little bit of the Auburn Minnesota game and the Alabama Michigan game. I think they're still going on. Yeah, exactly. Sparky in the chat room, still have one more. Squeaky said, Happy New Year to end the decade. Sparky said, still have one more year. Squeaky said, yep. Here we are at the final year of the second decade of the 21st century. I feel like I've been pounding on this for a week now, probably only because, you know, I have been. Counting, it's a thing. And this being the first broadcast of the new month, let alone the new year, I should note that we have Bruce's Memorial Challenge on the table, and we've had some immediate help in that regard. Remember, our buddy Gary out in New Mexico, labor man, alongside Ralps in Wisconsin and an anonymous contributor, make sure that we start every month out with a challenge. So there's $200 on the table, and it gets doubled if we raise the daily figure, you know, $200. And so here we are. And thank you very kindly to Gary and to Ralps and to our anonymous friend for making Bruce's Memorial Challenge. And thank you very kindly to... thank you very kindly to our buddy Thomas, otherwise known in the chat room as Jug of Punch. Reminder, if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that happens during the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 to 5 Pacific, well, just run on over to headon.live, click on chat room, and if you don't already have a screen name and a password, pick one out, jump right in. Squeaky and Sparky, you're there, and hopefully maybe some other folks will wander along. Don't know, I don't know what people are doing this time. But, you know, there may be some people out there, not me, but there may be some people out there that are kind of getting over a hangover from last night. Last night was, after all, amateur night. Not I lived the life sanitary last night, and behaved myself completely. Went to a house party with some friends kindly invited me to. And, but you know, We'll see what the evening brings. Let's put it like that. But this program, like every other, begins with thanks. And so again, thanks go out to Ralphs and to Gary and to our anonymous friend for making the challenge. And thanks also go out to Thomas Jug of Punch, who wiped out a big chunk of Bruce's challenge with a memorial of his own. Thomas sent a note just a few moments ago saying, have a gift in the memory of Bill, Mr. Stress Miller's birthday. Yeah, born this day in, I believe, 1943. So he would have been 76? No, 77? Ciphering me problem. Thank you. Thank you, Thomas. And Bill is indeed well remembered here in this little family community congregation. So that leaves $80 to go in terms of Bruce's memorial challenge. Thank you. And thanks as well to our subscribers for the first day of the month. And that includes Shorty from L.A. and Joseph and Lauren out in the far frozen. No, I think Lauren may still be in Washington State and not freezing. But at any rate, the thank you to Lauren, and thank you to Bob at Home Dirts, and thank you to Rusty, and thank you to Terry in Amherst, where only the H is silent. Thank you all very, very kindly indeed. So we are we're off and running for the new year. Let's see. This program, by the way, will be a little bit. It's not going to be 3 hours. Again, not because I'm like crawling and all hungover from New Year's Eve, because I'm not. Long about midnight, I went and just parked the car and sat down and watched the singing river flow by me. It was nice. And got up this morning, got the hog jowl going. If you're over on social media, yes, I posted a picture of hog jowl, not on the hog. And so that got the new year started in proper fashion, you know, because you eat high on the hog. And right now, as we speak, I'm finishing up New Year's dinner. Why not? Let's start the new year with food porn, because we'll be back into the swamp and talking about the madness that ramps up every day. Just because it's a new year doesn't mean that the old rule no longer applies. However weird yesterday was, today will be weirder still. And no matter how weird today is, tomorrow will be weirder still again. And that all remains true. But yeah, let's start with a little food porn. So like I said, I did the jowl. And then later in the day, I made New Year's Eve dinner for some friends, because I couldn't stand the idea of not cooking on New Year's. So in the oven, remaining warm right now, is a big roaster with corned beef and cabbage, sitting quietly, simmering ever so lowly on the stove, is a big old whopping pot of Hoppin' John, you know, black-eyed peas and onions and tomatoes and a few little chilies and rice, and it's delicious. And just shortly before airtime, I pulled out of the oven a great big pan of cornbread. So I'm gonna put it all together and take it, and we'll have a New Year's Eve dinner, or a New Year's night dinner this evening. And I thought I might also tell you a little bit about what's going on down here. I've been working at it since I got here. part of this trip down here was to investigate the possibility of spending at least part of the time living down here. Because there are simply so few. I spent a lot of time, Agnes and I both do. I hate to use the term worrying, but I guess that's as appropriate a term as anything. We fret. We want all of our children to have a fighting chance. And right now, we're looking at, you know, there's a university down here. There's a vibrant music scene. And so the possibility of maybe coming down here and giving Ferg a better fighting chance is part of what I've been investigating while I'm down here. And what's that? What's the story about Hoppin' John, Bob? Sparky asks. It's just Hoppin' John. It's an old Southern tradition. Probably there's some sort of meaning behind why it's Hoppin' John. I don't have it immediately to mind. But it's black-eyed peas and rice and onions and celery and tomatoes. Everybody does it differently, but it's part of the component of eating black-eyed peas for luck on New Year's. The cabbage and the corned beef and cabbage is representative of money. And I don't know what the black-eyed peas represent, but I do know you have to eat black-eyed peas on New Year's. Which is fine by me because I love them. Anyway, the other thing that's going on down here is, we have to do a little time travel in order for this all to make sense. You may recall back in 2017, Agnes and I set out on what we hoped would actually be a little bit of a vacation. And we tried to make it one to a certain extent. We came down to Alabama, stopped for a day or two here, went on down to visit family at the Gulf, and then we had a one-night trip over to New Orleans. But along the way, a very dear friend of mine passed away. And when I say that we were lifelong friends, I mean that we were literally roommates in the nursery at the local hospital when we were born. Because we were only a couple of days apart. He's a couple of days older than me. And so back in 2017, because he is part of that generation that statistically and inexplicably is dying younger than expected, my dear friend passed away. And he and I were both deeply involved in theater in the community and in college and in our respective high schools and stuff. And over the years, we would sit and watch it together. I mean, he was in it in the particular play in high school. And it occurred to me and to another dear friend that it would be a beautiful sort of living memorial to him if we put that play on. And so with a considerable amount of help, I have come down here and I've been able to do the show from do the program from down here. But I also go to rehearsals every evening after the program's over here. And so the play will open in the third week of January. And so if we look at the calendar, and this is by way of a program note, there won't be any shows the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th of this month. Just 1 week. And after that's over, I will pack up and head back for the hills so that I can make sure and be there when the absolute most hateful, worst part of winter arrives up in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Coltrump Virginia Stan. But that's what I've been working at. It's really exciting. We're having a lot of fun, and it's a delight to sit around and remember our buddy. Because had he still been alive, I have no doubt he would be playing the role that I'm playing. And I've always enjoyed this. It's a great delight for me. And I'm getting to work with some wonderful people in putting this thing together. And hopefully, maybe there will be some way. You know, one of the things I was thinking about is I'm going to try to do a recording of one of the dress rehearsals video. And so maybe we'll have a screening of it, depending on if the quality and whatever. We'll have a screening of it at the Horn Inn, which I'm going to get to work on immediately when I get back to almost level West by Coltrane, Virginia, Stan. Yeah, from Talabama to Trump, Virginia, Stan. Out of the frying pan and into the fire. Although I must say that this place has a little bit of a leg up on back home, among other things, because, well, here it is, New Year's Day, and it was 54 degrees and bluebird blue skies, a few clouds moving in now, but it's been an absolutely near perfect day. Meanwhile, Agnes reported that it is colder than a well digger's ass up home. So that's the schedule going forward. I'm going to have a week away from the microphone and then get on the road and get back home and get back into the studio. And I'll have plenty of work to do there because I got to figure out why we can't stream from the studio. But that's a crisis for another day. We'll sort it out as soon as I get back. But like I said, this evening, I've made dinner for my cast members, and we'll have that before we jump into rehearsal. So that's basically what's been going on. What's that note from Steve in New York, back home in New York? Food porn and Alabama football. Thanks very, very much for both. Well, why not? I mean, if you can't do that on New Year's Day, when can you do it? Scott in San Diego with a note. Happy New Year. Last night I recorded That's Entertainment 1, 2, and 3, as well as That's Dancing. I've watched 1 and 2, but paused 3 at 31 minutes in to check if the horn would sound today. So I'll see the rest of it later. Then That's Dancing. By then I'll be all musicaled out for the year. P.S. I had two fairly hefty vodka martinis last night, so I'm in more of an afternoon fog than usual. Yeah, sometimes fog is good. Scott adds, New Year P.S. When it gets here on January 25th, the Chinese New Year will be the year of the rat. Well, I mean, you know, we've described Donald Trump as having a cat's ass mouth. But if you look at him at the right angle, yeah, he's kind of ratty. Let's see on that Chinese restaurant Zodiac placemat, the little paper one. I'm a rabbit. Think quick, rabbit. That's me. I'm a rabbit. Trying to remember what Agnes is. Whatever, it'll come to me. So that's pretty much all the news that needed to be disseminated going forward. I didn't tell you the name of the play. The play is The Lion in Winter by James Goldman. And it's kind of in my sweet spot because I love medieval history anyway. And so it's set in the year 1183. Henry II is trying to sort out the succession after he goes on to his long home. And there's a delightful, the wordplay is amazing. And so we've been hammering away at it for 3 weeks, and we've got three more to go. And I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be a lot. Well, it's been a lot of fun already. But when the lights go up and the curtain goes up, there's no curtain in this little community theater. I think there's going to be some real magic. And it, like I said, it's a fascinating period of time. Well, thanks. Randy in PA says, I just checked the forecast for Beckley, and it's barely been getting below freezing at night there. Yeah, that's true. It has been milder than usual, but you have to remember the magnificent Kincaid Mansion is a rather cold and drafty place. You're the rat, Steve in New York says, I think Giuliani is the bigger rat. I'm hoping this will be the year of his demise. Yeah, he does look like the kind of guy that could gnaw his way through 12-gauge electrical wire. Lee in New York says, my wife and I are both born in the year of the rat, and it does not matter. Well, it only matters on the... I was supposed to marry a sheep, which is always disturbing because of that Gene Wilder scene in the Woody Allen movie where he says, I am in love with a sheep. Okay, I don't know what happened to the Facebook feed, but something did. Randy in PA says, I wonder when the year of the weasel is. Well, you know, as long as you've got Republicans, it's always year of the weasel. Yeah. And speaking of Rudy Giuliani, it was a big night down at that buggy, vermin-infested, tacky pile of bricks that's owned by the current occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And somebody stuck a microphone and a camera, sadly, in Rudy Giuliani's face, and maybe he'd had a few already. But they had a red carpet there, and there were all kinds of maggots in attendance. It was pretty disgusting. But Nitwit Nero was there to be told how awesome he was, and that generally... that generally makes him happy. Because, of course, remember, he's the great big man baby who has to constantly be reminded of how much he is adored. Well, I wonder if... Just checking here. No, we're good on both of the streams. Something funny's going on with Facebook over there. I'm sorry. I guess it'll resolve when it decides to resolve. But far be it from Rudy to ever not self-promote. And like I said, when you hear this, I mean, he's not all Foster Brooks or anything. But it's a pretty good bet he was maybe feeling no pain, and his unjustifiably monumental ego was on full display. So reporters asked him about his thoughts for the trial of the bill of impeachment in the Senate. Now remember, Moscow Mitch, the man without a chin, Moscow Mitch does not want a trial. Moscow Mitch wants to gavel it in, holler case dismissed, and gavel it out.
and say, see, we have exonerated the president of the United States of America.
And now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything good about Mitch McConnell. But if you are a diehard partisan maggot, and if you live in gut-bending, bowel-watering fear that the facts might actually get out and the American people might actually find out what a rolling, roiling criminal enterprise this is in our White House, getting in and getting out is about as good as it can get. Mitch McConnell has the right idea. Meanwhile, because the for-profit media, the multimillionaires there, need something to prattle about, we're caught up in this game of will she or won't she, in particular in regards to Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine. And, of course, Susan Collins is just starved, and apparently long has been, for attention. And so she plays this game, particularly, I suppose, with her constituents in Maine, where she says, well, I'm going to listen to all the evidence, and then I'm going to make an informed and independent and moderately Republican decision, and then does exactly whatever it is that Nitwit Nero wants done. Lisa Murkowski, she's not quite as odious as Susan Collins is in that respect. I mean, she's odious. She's a Republican. But she had to run as an independent to win this last time because she got beat. She got beaten in her primary by a teabagger or a maggot or whatever we were calling them at the time. And she did vote no on taking health care away from tens of millions of Americans when the Republicans were desperate to do that because they thought somehow it would give the maggots a maggoty little stiffy. I know. Republicans. Go figure. But Lisa Murkowski is a huge fossil fool. Lisa Murkowski would gladly burn down the whole planet as long as it satisfied her owners in the oil and gas industry, and I guess to a certain extent the coal industry. But as between the two, Susan Collins is worse. But that's comparing, I don't know, that's like comparing apples and dirty sweat socks. But we've had this game going on promulgated by the multimillionaires of the for-profit media. Because news is, of course, remember, a reality TV, reality TV entertainment. Now, it's not actually related to the whole Fourth Amendment, public service, Fourth Estate, First Amendment, Fourth Estate. No, it's just entertainment. So you got to have something to keep people roiled over, and Senator Watch is apparently one of the big ones right now. Will Susan Collins break with Mitch McConnell? Will Lisa Murkowski insist upon witnesses being called? What about Joni Ernst, the noted hog deballer from Iowa? What of Cory Gardner in Colorado, whose only hope is that Democrats stay home and the maggots don't, and he gets another 6-year term in the United States Senate? What about what's-her-name in Arizona? You know, you've seen it. But because I occupy the unenviable position of having a certain coal broker for my senior senator, I know that their math is all wrong. Kind of like thinking this is the end of a... Today is the beginning of a new decade. It's not. No, they've got it all wrong. Because they're not counting... They're not counting the real joker in the deck. So there's 53 senators, and if four break, that essentially puts Chuck Schumer in charge of the trial and the impeachment in terms of calling witnesses and whatnot. And what I was mentioning early on is that if you're Mitch McConnell, the smart money is to get in and get out as quickly as you possibly can before Donald Trump can say something stupid that might actually turn the entire country against him. Because as we discussed last night, if you even faintly, vaguely ponder what it would be like to have Donald Trump testify, I mean, come on, who wouldn't? The whole damn world would tune in if that mendacious, lying, mentally ill asshat testified at his own trial in the Senate. I mean, hell, the multi-limbed amorphous alien overlords from Norblap 9 would power up their receivers with every last bit of available juice on Norblap just to watch that. Hey, Kelly, happy New Year. And he would be lying before he might get past "my name is Donald J. Trump" before he told the first lie, but that's not guaranteed. So the Republicans really don't want a trial of this case, and they don't want the fact witnesses who have thus far been denied the ability or the right or the permission to testify. Steve in New York. Subject line, Susan Collins. Oh, me, pick me. The answer is no. Yeah, she's not going to break with it, like it's, again, like it's some sort of a ginned up relationship on a reality television show. Senate Island. Scott in San Diego points out, regarding Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, et cetera, there's Ralph Nader's letter to McConnell sent, he says, to reassure the GOP Senate won't bring us a sham trial. Well, you'll forgive me if I don't get particularly worked up about any correspondence from Ralph. As you can possibly imagine why. He joined with constitutional law scholars Louis Fisher and Bruce Fine. Ralph did. To try to suggest a way to prevent a sham Senate trial, which of course is exactly what Moscow Mitch wants. But if you, okay. Do you got the hockey puck handy? Because this is really giggly. We are convinced that only the Chief Justice can rescue the impeachment trial from the taint. He said taint. of partisanship that would destroy the legitimacy of the outcome. Justice requires the appearance of justice. Well, there's a big difference between the appearance and the actual thing. But both Republican and Democratic members of Congress have openly proclaimed biases in favor of President Trump. Yes, both-siderism. Who would have imagined that Ralph Nader would be out there preaching both-siderism?
Citizens generally do not trust members, to be fair. Public confidence in Congress hovers around 10% as opposed to 42% for the United States Supreme Court. Wow. When you're citing a 42% confidence level for the Supreme Court, maybe this would be a good time to remind Ralph that 42 is less than 50. So what Ralph wants is for old Balls and Strikes Roberts, the guy who thinks there's no more racism in America, the guy who gutted the Voting Rights Act, the guy who took away health care from millions of working poor Americans, mostly in the Confederacy, by striking down the mandatory aspects of the Medicaid expansion. This is the guy that Ralph Nader thinks is going to save impeachment and make it look or appear to be fair. And Ralph and Louis Fisher and Bruce Fine all say, we would welcome the opportunity to assist in drafting the proposed rulemaking delegation. Because Moscow Mitch is going to do that. He wants control of the entire proceedings turned over to old Balls and Strikes Roberts, the guy who perjured himself in his own Senate confirmation hearing. Sure, why not? We propose that the Senate endow the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, who will preside with authority to prescribe trial procedures subject to veto by a Senate majority. You mean the same 53-vote majority that right now is going to prevent them from calling witnesses at all? Oh, gee, Ralph. Scott in San Diego says, if Trump testifies at the Senate proceedings, Superman and the Mole Men will be there too, not just the inhabitants of Norblap 9. Okay, that's weird. I'm being told that the Facebook feed is fine, but here it says it's trying to connect due to poor wireless connection. Your video has been paused. What makes that particularly interesting is the fact that it's on a hardwired connection. Oh, well. At Broken Republicans, Lee in New York says, the Republicans will not break rank. My guess is that McConnell will get every Republican senator to vote for the Republican desire in the impeachment setup. Their allegiance will be rewarded with the chance to vote convict. Then, when the trial ends, it'll be pointed out that a vote for impeachment would be hypocritical. It would also get Trump to have rallies and tweets against any voter in favor of impeachment. Independent as a marionette. Indeed. And so that's taken it. Lots of breathless multimillionaire for-profit media coverage on the will she or won't she. But to return to my thesis, counting Murkowski, counting Collins, counting on fingers, counting Cory Gardner, Joni Ernst, Martha McSally, it's all meaningless. Until you take into account and try to figure out which way he's going to figure out the wind is blowing, namely Joe Manchin, who is, in fact, Susan Collins with better hair. Because you could have, let's engage in a little bit of fantasy. Susan Collins says, I demand that we call witness.
witnesses. Lisa Murkowski says, I demand that we call witnesses. Corey Gardner says, I demand that we call witnesses. Joni Hogdy Baller Ernst says, I demand we call witnesses. That's 49. That's from 53 down to 49. And then Joe, the old reliable Joe, says, well, I'm just searching for balance, and I don't think we can achieve balance if we call witnesses in this trial. I think we just need to dismiss it and get back to the business of being America and loving America and blowing up more mountains and burning more coal. Coal keeps the lights on. And then all the hand-wringing, all the pearl-clutching, all the vote counting is for naught. And you know, we've got a second Joe Manchin in the Democratic caucus in the Senate. Because it's not just him. It's Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona, who has decided that she likes she likes working Joe Manchin's corner, where she gets down and wallers around and scrabbles about with the Republicans and Trump from time to time. I do not know the answer to that, Steve. Steve said, and let me know if any of you have had this problem too. Steve says, for me, Podbean stopped updating as of December 20th. Do you know of this issue? This is the first I've heard about it. Let me know if it happened, because I've been uploading every program of an evening. So that brings us back around. People, myself included, and I suspect the members of the Horn Family Community Congregation, would like to see a trial in the Senate take place, understanding, of course, that it's not going to be like any trial that takes place in any courtroom in the United States. It's a much more stylized thing. But that it would be interesting to hear people like John Bolton and Mick Mulvaney and Don McGahn and a few others give testimony. And it would be absolutely gripping if we got to watch Tangerine Tiberius commit the longest string of uninterrupted perjury in the history of American jurisprudence. He couldn't not lie. That's how sick he is. That's how advanced his pathology is. He wants the trial. And so too, apparently, does super genius Rudy Giuliani. Remember, we were talking earlier. This whole thing started out as a conversation about Rudy Giuliani showing up at that tacky, vermin-infested, buggy-ass, nasty, overpriced pile of bricks down in South Florida that Donald Trump owns and has somehow managed to make we the people pay for the last almost 3 years running. We're not quite 3 years yet.
That'll be January the 20th, 2020. 1-20-20-20. But Rudy's nuts and or drunk. And rat-faced Rudy wants a trial. Oh, he so wants a trial.
Demonstrations, I give lectures, I give summations, or I do what I do best, I try the case. I'd love to try the case.
Would you be going back to your good voice?
I know, noisy. Shitty, add shitty acoustics to the rest of everything else that's wrong with Mara Sleezo. But with the, and that was a Fox News TV radio Rwanda microphone that was stuck in his face there. And he said, I'd testify, I would do demonstrations. Of what? And do we really want to see Rudy Giuliani do any demonstrations? I don't know about you, but I don't. I'd give lectures, he says. Is there enough liquor on planet Earth to get us through one of those? I'd give summations. Summations? Like the closing argument? I think that's what senators get to do. Or I'd do what I do best, he says. I'd try the case. I'd love to try the case. Call the witnesses. But he also wants to be a witness himself. And, well, Rudy's apparently forgotten that rules of professional conduct thingy where lawyers are not supposed to become witnesses in their own cause. I don't know if anybody would have the courage to give me the case, which is another way of saying I don't know if there's anybody in I don't know if Mitch McConnell is drunk enough to give me the case. But if you give me the case, I'll prosecute it as a racketeering case. Wait for it. Which I kind of invented anyway. Yes, Rudy is now so far gone that he thinks he invented the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, which, incidentally, he didn't, and is in fact a statute that was passed by the Congress of the United States and signed into law by the President of the United States. But Rudy thinks he, now, I don't know, give him another year, and he may think that he was pitching when DiMaggio's consecutive games with a hit streak was finally broken. I'd give summations. He'd give something. So as much as I think we would like to just sort of take a break and a little bit of a breather, I don't think we get to. I think we, for good or ill, have already hit the ground running. And it's going to be wacky and zany for the foreseeable future, with a side order of corrupt, crooked, and criminal. Randy and PA and Brother Deacon Asa have both confirmed to me in regard to Steve's query. Podbean appears to be up to date. It was both Randy and hey, so letting me know that. So, Steve, if there are any more problems, let me know. And I had Thomas from FYI Nation connected, but for some reason or another, it crashed. Skype did, so call back Thomas if you want to. Summation? This is good. Wait a minute. Steve in New York. Summations? 2 + 2 = 4. You know how this is going to go. 2 + 2 = 4. 3 and 3 = 6. 4 and 4 = 8. That's your summations. Right. It's a beautiful thing. All right. Let's see if I can bring Thomas in here. Hey, Thomas.
Happy New Year. I had some internet connections. My said poor micro internet, and what I pay for, I shouldn't have poor internet access. So I don't know what was going on there. So the internet web demons are clearly out talking about yours. I did want to say that I think I fixed our streaming issues with your show tonight. So hopefully the redundancies I have, people will not have to send messages to me to let me know that you're not streaming when I can't do anything about it at work.
Happens.
So it's very awkward when I can't do anything until after the program to even tell what's going on. And I wanted to wish you and the Horn family a happy new year, and just I'm glad I got a chance to call because I don't get to participate often. And I wanted to touch on Ralph Nader's thing.
Well, if you want to touch Ralph Nader, that's fine, but I don't want to hear about it.
Look, I have no problem with consensus or compromise, but the whole thing about that is you have to win first. And last I looked, the Democrats haven't really won anything except the House. We don't own the Senate. We don't run the rules of the Senate. Why would we concede to anything, let alone the Bill Clinton rules, which is out to get Bill Clinton in his impeachment? Why would we do that? And it makes no sense to, let's just hand it over, like you were saying. To me, what you have to do is vote like Trump's happiness depends on it in 2020 and get him the fuck out of office. I love the idea of impeachment. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a start. But the real shit to happen is to have a blue wave like we did. We might not get the Democrat we want, and I really hope we get Bernie. I'll just throw that out there for everybody. I'm a full-on, full-fledged Bernie supporter, but I'm going to vote in 2020, even if Bernie is not my guy, because I know what depends on not voting and sour grapes. And my political funny meme thing we're doing on FYI Nation is great if Trump takes power again. So we'll do well, but I don't want to do that well for another 4 years of suffering everywhere else because we can get some laughs out of it. And I think the needs of the many outweigh the needs
of
the
few. That's not my purpose, is getting a giggle out of it. Maggots are a lot more fun, and birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, booger eaters, what have you, are a lot more fun to laugh at when they don't have any goddamn power.
Exactly that, because they're more rabid dog-like, and you can poke them with a stick a little easier. I mean, look at Louis Gomer, and he has power, freaking out about being a 12-year-old.
He doesn't have any power right now, because mercifully, we do hold the House.
Well, yes, understand
the 18 election, Thomas. No, we didn't take the Senate, and it was damn near impossible to take the Senate.
Yes, Yes.
But that is not the case now. That's why, you know, periodically I remind people, dare to dream. Hang on to the, work your ass off. Hang on to the House majority and go and pick off some of those Republicans.
Yes, and I'm going to, I know
and
I'm
shame
gonna
on, and shame on the Democratic Party if we are not competitive in every single Senate race that a Republican is an incumbent in. That's on us, not on the Republicans.
Well, no, and I know I'm going to piss off some of my Bernie folks when I say this, but frankly, it doesn't matter who the Democratic person is in the long run, whether it's somebody like Doug Jones or not. We need to grab power because what the Senate is blocking, and on a regular basis with Mitch McConnell, and I'm going to say this on my show when I start in January 6th on FYI Nation, I'm going to go after people who are going to tell me, no, I don't want to vote, I'm going to stay home. They're the worst. They're worse than the Russians because at least the Russians, you know what their game plan is. That's just stupid. Why are you going to slit your own wrists and everybody else's by staying home because you're mad because your guy didn't win? I can't. And this whole third party thing, as much of a good idea as it would be, look what happened in Great Britain. The reason Labour got trounced was not because Jeremy Corbyn is an anti-Semite, which he isn't. Is not because Jeremy Corbyn wasn't a good enough socialist, because he isn't. He is. It's because the Liberal Democratic Party split the ticket down the middle. The Brexit Party split the ticket down the middle. And they all went to the real party that stood for something. And standing for crazy, is at least you know you're voting for crazy. And people vote for what they know. It's human nature. And we have a case study of it with Britain. So it should scare the bejesus out of people coming up in 2020. And I have to pound that for my health and your health, for the health of America. I have to pound that message across because the staying home, this or bust bullshit, whether it's coming from a guy who voted for Joe Biden or a guy who voted for Bernie Sanders and didn't get their way, the or bust bullshit is exactly that. And it scares me more than Trump, and Trump scares me a lot, Bob.
As well he should. And again, I'll just say what I've been saying. If you give a damn about climate change or children in cages, and you can still do that thing where my privilege outweighs the needs of children in dog cages, and I want purity of conscience over a burn, and instead of trying to slow the burning of the planet, that ain't on me. It's on you.
Yes.
Not you, Thomas.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I have a really good friend of mine who I disagree vehemently on this, but it is what it is. And I think he's wrong on this particular issue. He's right on a lot of issues, but he's wrong on this. And I'll tell him to his face he's wrong on this because.
But see, here's the problem, and you know, I have said, oh, you know, I'll hold my nose or whatever. I'm not saying that anymore. I'm not saying that anymore. If Joe Biden is the nominee, I am going to go skipping and singing to the polls.
Oh, I may not skip and sing, but I'm going to the damn polls.
I'm going to beg people to go.
But wait.
Why wouldn't you skip and sing, Thomas? We're talking about somebody who is not Donald fucking Trump. Okay? I mean, as odious as I find Michael Bloomberg, I'm going to skip and sing. Or Tom Steyer. Or hopefully Tulsi Gabbard will be out by then.
Oh, Jesus. Don't even say her.
You know, maybe there will be a little bit more spring in my step if it's somebody that I actually feel kindly toward.
Well, look. It took me a while to come around to Elizabeth Warren, and I did. So if anybody can come around to anybody, except maybe Tulsi Gabbard, because I don't know what she's doing. I, you know, maybe Hillary was right on this one with her. because I have no explanation for what the hell she's doing. And it's just, I really want us to win. I need us to win. For the sake of humanity and the fact that we're supposed to be a superpower, could we maybe act like it?
Well, I mean, not right now.
Well, that's my wish for 2020, because everybody was saying on my Facebook feed, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. And all I can think of, and I posted this on my feed, was vote like you want somebody to have a Happy New Year. Because the only way we can do that, I mean, even for the maggots, Bob.
Well, I didn't wait. No, I put up my New Year's hog jowl post, and I said, you know, we all need all the good luck we can get. And then I said, wait, except for the maggots.
Well, no, look, they're human, and or at least
you sure about that?
That's the hope. I have a tiny amount of hope for people because I used to be a conservative, and coming from that, you have a long road.
Wait! There's a difference between being a conservative and being one of these people.
True.
Did you ever scream that Barack Obama was a Muslim usurper living in our White House?
Oh, come on now.
See, we're talking about an entirely different subset of beings here.
But you're right. Maybe I was being too nice, and because it is the Christmas season, the holiday season, the Festivus season, my generosity of spirit hopes that, like, people who went through the whole Nazi thing, once he's out of power, they'll be like, "What the fuck were we doing?" A guy can hope.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Nazis have to be beaten and beaten and beaten again until they decide they're not going to be Nazis anymore.
Well, I agree with that too.
Dennis from Columbus says Trump has what I call spitter syndrome, smartest person in the room, or at least he thinks he is.
Oh, yeah, and you know it because he had to explain what a word was today. And I don't even remember what the word is because I tuned him out when he started explaining it, because otherwise my head hurt more than usual. Head hurts more than usual. He talks on the third grade level and I end up doing it. It's radically challenging to listen to the man. So I'm hoping that my show in 2020 will be able to be a Trump-free zone. Except for reminding fellow Bernie-crats, Democrats, Justice Democrats, whatever you are, to vote as if your life depends on it.
Yeah, only because it does.
Exactly. And that's, if I give anything to you, our community, that's what I want to give. And hopefully FYI Nation will have a good year in donations, and hopefully Head On Radio will too, Bob. I have 5 weeks in my pay period this month, so you could expect something from FYI Nation later in the month.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you very kindly.
I've already set that aside. I just can't do it right now because we had days off that we didn't get paid for. So, Merry Christmas to me.
Yay.
Well, you know, you're not the only one out there worrying. I got a note a little bit ago from Kyle down in Kentucky, Stan. Bob, am I wrong for worrying that the protests at the embassy and Kim Jong-un's threatening rhetoric, and given how the warmongering GOP have responded, that this is going to set up to be a pretense for war to get orange assholes poll numbers up to have another term? No, you're not. No, that's not unreasonable at all. Republicans play with human, you know, we support a culture of life, they'll say. Yeah. We love them little fetuses. And then, you know, they'll send some mother's son out to get slaughtered in a stupid war.
Well,
thousands of mother's sons and father's daughters, etc., to get slaughtered in a stupid war. And he would not hesitate, not for a minute, to do that. The only thing that slows him is his essential cowardice.
Well, Bob, you know, he should change his slogan 2020 to fetus first. From America first. I'm just saying that. I'm going to give a Trump tip. the Trump tip of the for 2020, it should be fetus first. And then we all know where he stands. Because after the fetus, you don't fucking matter to him.
You know, so, or any other Republican.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Look at the number of people who got number of people on EBT, so-called food stamps, who got screwed.
Yeah, it's awful, and I for one am glad I am no longer one, and was one for a very short period of time. It's a time I regret. So hopefully, you know, I will be right and you'll be wrong that these maggots will regret it. But if not, punch them in the face until they bleed. There you go.
No, we gotta be nonviolent here.
Oh,
sorry.
Punch them lightly in the face. Don't leave a mark.
Yeah, right. The soap in the pillowcase thing?
Yes, don't leave a mark. You're right, Bob. Just don't leave a mark.
You got a note from Steve in New York pointing out maggots are humanoid.
Yes, that
and,
is true.
But he says, moreover, Thomas could not be more dead on right.
Aw. Well, I hope people every once in a while will check out me on Monday through Wednesday, Thursday, 9 p.m., right? I don't know. Are you doing that extended hour or not yet? Or have you decided?
No, I haven't. We'll decide which direction we go in when I get back home to the hills.
Well, keep me posted on that so I can put you in there.
Well, you did hear me say that I will be I'll be reruns the week of the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th.
No, I was just waking up then, so I missed that part. Okay. But I will make sure that we still play through reruns. And our new schedule, we do have it up on FYNation.com.
Mm-hmm.
Three times a day, or three times on the weekend, do you get to hear Dr. Bill O'Brien's virtual civics.
Yay.
So I hope I chose two regular daytime hours for people to check and tune in.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it's at 4 o'clock. I'm now looking at the schedule. And one nighttime on Friday at 10 o'clock. So if you decide that you need a little bit of civics and want to check out
you know,
Dr. Bill
O'Brien, we know this much. If you check in and listen to Dr. Bill, you'll pick up a couple of IQ points here and there.
And I know I did, and I'm not just saying that because we have him on the air. I really do love the show. So,
we're just in a little bit of a spot right now with the streaming computer having died back in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. It makes it difficult for Agnes to produce. So next week, I'm going to try to produce Bill from here.
Well, I hope it works out for you. And hope Amazon sends us the USB Ethernet hub so we can be on the air promptly on January 6th. So, I know we're competing up against Mike Malloy, and some people don't want to make that choice. But every once in a while, saunter on over. You
sure,
know?
Sure.
It's not cheating on a loved one. It really isn't, I promise.
I understand completely. Well, I hope your new year is indeed a wonderful one, Thomas, and my best to you and to FYI and onward bravely and boldly into history, right?
Well, I hope I'm right on this and we get enough people out. And thank you so much, Bob, and Happy New Year to you and the Horn community family. I'm glad you guys give us lots of live programming and new programming, so it's very much appreciated over here.
Well, thank you. We appreciate all you do, Thomas. Thank you very kindly. Take care. Did you disappear on me? I guess he did. That was quick. So lines are open. I got a couple of stories here. But I'm gonna have to say stand by for a minute because I have to go and check the oven because, you know, remember, I'm still working on dinner. So this won't take but a couple of seconds. I'll be right back. See, told you. No time at all. Just had to check. And no, nothing's burning, nothing's ruining. It's just that the corned beef and cabbage is beginning to be, it's reaching that point where it is especially fragrant. Yummy. Melanie says, what's for dinner, Bob? Hoppin' John, black eyed peas, rice, onions, celery, chilies and tomatoes, and black eyed peas, and corned beef and cabbage, and a great big pan of homemade cornbread. Man, that, you know, the juice off the corned beef and cabbage to sop your cornbread in that. Ooh, yeah. Had a note from Albert, said the thing with black eyed peas goes back to the Civil War. Didn't know that. He says that black eyed peas were first served to some liberated Confederate POWs. Their former Yankee guards considered black eyed peas to be food you feed the livestock, so the former prisoners enjoyed the peas for their New Year's Day meal, and they also hoped they'd have good luck in the new year. Makes as much sense as anything. Thanks, Albert. And as we've moved into the second hour of the program, again, this is going to be a truncated program this evening. Thanks very kindly to Thomas, who remembered Bill, Mr. Stress Miller's birthday today and knocked down all but $80 of Bruce's Memorial First of the Month Challenge, brought to you by Gary, Laborman, and Ralph's, and an anonymous contributor. Thank you very kindly. So we got $80 to go on that. And somehow or another, at some point, we're going to have to, I think I figured it out, if we bump the fundraising goal by $50 for the rest of the month, we won't be in a terrible, terrible squeeze because of the 5 days that I'm not going to be on air. But anyway, if we can just meet that other $80, we'll be good to go for today. And then we'll worry about tomorrow. Well, great minds think alike. Steve in New York says, I'm sitting down to some corned beef and cabbage at an Irish bar called Sean Ogg's. I'll bet it's a fine place. Tall, cool pint of Guinness might go well with that. And a reminder, as far as Randy said, mention the URL at Podbean. The best way to get podcasts for the program is just to go over and use the various platforms that Brother Deacon Asa has made available at headon.live. Makes it real, real easy. But Podbean does seem to be completely well behaved as far as we can tell. But if you go to headon.live, you can choose whatever platform you want. And I'm gonna run over to the phones in a minute. But you knew we wouldn't get out of New Year's Eve without some manifest stupidity. And because, of course. So naturally, we have to go to Texas for this. Because, of course. And I heard what was, you know, there's a difference between fireworks and gunfire, as all too many Americans have learned to their horror and their grief and their agony. And last night I heard some fire, you know, this town is the home now of TNT fireworks. And now a lot of states have relaxed their fireworks laws because, I guess, freedom. So that you can get those really big mortar shells that have a huge boom to them and big sparkly whatever in the sky. And there was a lot of that last night, but interspersed with that was what seemed unmistakably pistol fire and a couple of shotgun blasts.
And it kind of happens all around the country because, of course, our country is sick with firearm mania. And so Harris County, Texas, where a woman by the name of Philippa Ashford was celebrating New Year's Eve with her family in a cul-de-sac at the end of her driveway there in Harris County. She was 61. You'll notice I'm using the past tense. You know how this ends. Philippa Ashford was 61 years old. She was a nurse. She had spent her life and her career caring for others and making and trying to make sick people well. So they were setting off fireworks in the cul-de-sac last night. And of a sudden, she grabbed her body and said to her family members around her, "I think I've been shot." And then she did die. Because some asshole, perhaps a member of the National Ruble Association, some lawful gun owner, was standing outside firing a firearm into the air, oblivious to the fact that the projectile would not in fact go into space and go into geosynchronous orbit where it might eventually bump up against the International Space Station or something equally some other equally ignorant idea. No, our good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, gun humper. So, hey, I couldn't afford no fireworks this year. I'm just going to go outside and shoot my gun up in the air for freedom to usher in the New Year's. And the next thing you know, a 61-year-old nurse is laying dead on the ground. Sergeant Ben Beal of the Harris County Sheriff's Office said, "At this point, from our witnesses and seeing at the scene, we believe this may very well be a case of celebratory gunfire somewhere else in the neighborhood. No indication a family member or anyone else in the cul-de-sac was discharging a firearm." And so now the sheriff's deputies are running around the neighborhood looking for shell casings and asking if anybody was firing guns last night. And of course, anybody who was firing guns last night is going to say, "Oh, hell no, I would never do that. That's crazy." And then just speculating on the random nature of life itself, Sergeant Beal of the Harris County Sheriff's Department said, "I don't know you can even figure what the odds are. You got the family together celebrating the new year, and now the matriarch of the family is deceased." Exactly, Melanie, over on the Facebook feed. Melanie says, "Another unnecessary death by a fucking gun-loving moron." What is this? Yes, this is. This is Baghdad with better cable. That's what America is now, Baghdad with better cable. Because our gun humpers go out and imagine not having any conception of the law of gravity. Pistol go bang, bullet go bye-bye, bullet never come down. And when you think about it, it had to be one of those firings into the air. You know, just straight up or not straight up. I mean, there's windage and azimuth and all of that stuff to be taken into account. Parabolas and hyperbolas and things I don't understand in math and geometry and trigonometry. And like Sergeant Beal said, you can't calculate the odds are. You know what I can? You know what the odds of Philippa Ashford dying from a gunshot wound are if nobody is in her neighborhood firing random firearms into the air. It becomes impossible for Philippa Ashford to be killed by random gunfire if no one is randomly firing goddamn guns. I don't know if Sergeant Beale pondered that or not. And it's Texas. Maybe a jury wouldn't even convict if they could figure out who it was. Well, I mean, he didn't mean to. Didn't mean to is not the legal standard. He didn't mean to. He's just out there celebrating, had him a few long necks and a couple of shots of tequila, and decided to go out and engage in some Second Amendment freedom. I can't wait for the goddamn press release from the National Ruble Association explaining why this is sad but necessary. The tree of liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. So there's poor Philippa Ashford, 61 years old, the matriarch of her family. And, yeah, she's natural manure now. Remember, those are Thomas Jefferson's words. Stephen New York says, subject line, family matriarch. She wins the award for first gun death of 2020. Yay her, the sickness continues. Unabated and with no evidence whatsoever that it's going to get any better. Then our buddy John, here's one that took place in Beaverton, Oregon, a candidate for Moran of the Year. What a maroon. John in North Dakota. Dateline, Wednesday, January 1st, 2020. Woman fires shot through cell phone into neighbor's wall, sheriff's office says. Dateline, Portland. A woman who fired a shot through her cell phone and through her neighbor's wall was the Washington County Sheriff's Office first shooting call of 2020. It happened in a condo building. Investigators recovered the gun, cell phone, and bullet at the scene. 35-year-old Rosemarie Ankarski stands accused of firing the pistol, unlawful use of a weapon, and reckless endangerment. We don't know exactly what she was doing with her phone when she fired the shot. The phone doesn't work anymore, said Brian Van Cleef, public information officer for Washington County Sheriff's Office. It's possible she was holding it up in a selfie-like position based on the angle of the shot. She was booked into the Washington County Jail. Bail was set at $1,000. I'm sure she's out by now. Just let that sort of sink in. She's all proud of her shooting gun. She loves her freedom protector. And so she's, Jesus. Well, nobody died. Nobody even got shot. I guess we call that a win in Gunmerica. No natural manure out of that story. But that's a reminder, we've got a brand new year to deal with. And that means we've got to start the clock. We've got to start the tally over again for the various and sundry innocent Americans who will be sacrificed on the blood-soaked altar of the National Ruble Association's ongoing attempt to foment civil war in this country. God almighty. Well, thank you, Steve. Steve in New York says, I'll do a $10 challenge towards the Memorial Challenge. Steve's got 10 sitting there, 10 bucks sitting there in his pocket, and he's just waiting for somebody else to kick in 10. And that'll take us down to only 60 bucks to finish Bruce's Memorial Challenge for the evening. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very kindly. Bon appetit on that corned beef and cabbage. Let's run over and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. The lady with the gun, with the phone?
Yeah.
Well, with the gun and the phone. Was that a smartphone?
Not anymore, it's not.
No, no, but I mean, before the horrible incident.
Yeah, it looked like it. It looked like she shot. She looked like she shot it right in the front-facing camera.
Well, she's trying to use the silencer app, probably.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. I'm just guessing. Sorry.
Little cowbell for that.
And as far as the guy who killed the woman with his celebratory gunfire.
And of course, she was a woman of color.
Yeah. Well, it goes beyond, you know, inadequate knowledge of the law of gravity, or even if he knows all about the law of gravity, if he's a religious fanatic, which can be assumed, most religious fanatics that I've ever known of the Protestant bent, well, whenever you call them on behavior, they say, well, we're not under law, we're under grace. So maybe he was, I don't know. I've long ago stopped trying to sort out the functionings of their space between their ears.
I mean, do people not under? I'm kind of at a loss here, Scott, and I don't necessarily want to let go of this story. Do All people right. not understand? I mean, there's you can have a story about some senseless gun-related violence any day of the year. I mean, in the year just passed, I could have done a gun violence story every single broadcast.
Probably more than one per broadcast.
Yeah. I mean, what? Is it drunk? I mean, is it a matter of just being loaded? Or is it cultural? Is it a Texas, a redneck, a Confederate thing? I mean, Jesus, ammunition's expensive. I mean,
I've followed the gun situation and the senseless violence situation for some years myself, and part of it is that part of human nature where people think that they are either some sort of privileged character and that they can do anything they want, whatever, or the more likely thing is most human beings don't wake up of a morning. You know, they have a built-in mindset. Nothing will ever happen to me that's bad or will hurt somebody else.
Why? Wait a minute. Time out. You make that assertion, and I'm not being an asshole. Why, how do people live that way?
Well, we all do. I mean, if you've ever had a seemingly random thing happened that has thrown a wrench into your life, your family life.
Oh no, not me.
Else. Huh?
Oh no, not me. That's never happened.
Well, what I'm saying is nobody ever expects the worst. They go through life as if they're immune from, you know, the randomness of life. Or if not the randomness, the consequences of life. By virtue of the fact that we got our ticket punched and were present on the stage, anything can happen. Now, more often than not, the bad shit will avoid us, or we can dodge it with a glancing blow or whatever. But sometimes everything configures properly and shit happens. You know?
Yeah, well, so far, yeah, I'm with you.
But as far as, you know, the guy was stupid, first of all, to fire his gun in the air. You know? But that's happening.
No, it's not the first case. But that's where, I mean, that's where the inquiry comes in. Because, I mean, I you said, you know, obviously he was stupid to do that. I'm not so much interested in the stupidity of the moment when he's holding the firearm and got it pointed at the sky. And I know how this fucker votes, don't you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm interested in what happens before. I'm interested in the moment before he goes and picks up and loads the firearm.
Well, they don't have a suspect yet, right?
No, not that I've read, no.
We don't know how impaired he might have been, whether it was from substances or whether it was from just the fact that he ain't too bright, Bob, you know? But oh, okay, so, there's some kind of
But wait. I'm really kind of trying to be analytical about this. So is he all by himself?
I don't know. We don't know yet because we don't. The person is still at large.
Well, I mean, I want to drill into that. So you're by yourself on New Year's Eve. You don't have anybody to kiss at midnight. I didn't get kissed at midnight. I mean,
I didn't either.
Agnes and I, you know, FaceTimed and, you know, but, let's say you're by yourself on New Year's Eve. What immediately comes to mind is, hey, it's midnight. I better go shoot my gun for good luck. Really? Okay. Yeah, so that's the scenario.
Well, some people bang pots and pans together out on the front.
Nobody randomly dies when they bang pots and pans.
Oh, I know. I'm not trying to justify.
I'm trying to in a nice orderly fashion work through A, B, C, D, E. So, okay, that's the if he's by himself. Because you know it's a he. I mean, come on. That's the if he's by himself scenario. What if he's with friends? Are you telling me that not one person, maybe his wife, his girlfriend, his boyfriend, maybe his gender indeterminate significant other, whatever. You telling me that the gun comes out and they go, cool, we're going to shoot the gun in the air?
Well, again, if he was foolish enough to do that, okay, unthinkingly, then he's probably got friends and neighbors with him, if he wasn't alone, who are of that same mindset where it's the most natural thing in the world and nothing bad will ever happen as a result of it. They're delusional in that regard. You know? I just... There's too many variables to figure out just what happened. I hope whoever it is, they catch the guy or woman. I mean, because conceivably, where did it happen?
Harris County, Texas.
Oh, shit, Bob. I myself have seen gun-toting women when I lived in Texas.
Yeah,
so
but I've still...
It could have been anybody.
But rethink that.
Or maybe it was Oklahoma where I saw the gun.
It couldn't have been anybody. It couldn't have been anyone who had the common sense not to fire a gun when you don't know what's behind. I mean, that's one of the rules. Like hunter safety, you never take a shot unless you know what's behind your target.
Oh, I know.
And you never shoot when you don't have a target.
I know.
And so it couldn't be anyone. It has to be someone who has a depraved indifference, and this is what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
A depraved indifference to the lives of other people.
Well, I'm sure that was part of it. I mean... There's no other explanation. It has to be of that nature. At the root cause is what is the expression? Grave indifference.
Depraved indifference.
Depraved indifference. I mean, that's ultimately what was behind it. I mean, no, there may have been other things. The guy might have been impaired or whatever, or not wired together correctly inside of his head, or
and to be clear,
not supposed to have a gun.
I realize we're speculating everything, Scott, but to be clear, you know, this is the Christian Republic of Texas. And somebody out there knows that he was out shooting a firearm in that vicinity last night. And the odds of that someone being a Christian are about probably 90%. So what does this Christian do?
Probably not get involved, because... You
not
know,
get involved, not admit that he was out there shooting a firearm into the air at midnight last night.
Are you talking about somebody who knows what happened?
No, I'm talking about the shooter. The shooter was, it's probably 9-1 that he was a Christian.
Well, that assumes he knows that somebody was killed as a result of it.
You know, the cops going door to door looking for shell casings and saying, was anybody here shooting a gun last night? Might be a clue.
Well, that's possible. I mean, and then it becomes a thing of covering up something that you are reasonably sure that you were responsible for. I mean, I would go blind and crazy sitting here trying to argue the dynamics of this thing, because there's no rationality involved here.
Well, and you know what? It seems to me like Lee in New York is kind of on the same page with you. Subject line, gun and science. Hey, Bob, no, they do not know. You can find plenty of videos of shooters who have no knowledge of Newton's third law of physics. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. The gun to metalist will stand upright, feet together, and fire a shot. The bullet goes forward, the shooter goes backwards and falls. Probably they only know guns from old Westerns. No recoil, no fall. Westerns must be fact. A good guy with a gun always shoots a bad guy with a gun. Or a good nurse with no gun. Steve in New York, subject line, the phone. The only way to stop a bad guy with a phone is a good guy with a phone. Randy in PA reminds us, in the cable TV series The Mythbusters, they sent bullets up in a balloon with a trap door to release them. It could have been the caliber that they used, but they barely made a dent in the dirt after they fell. The air resistance had slowed them to a crawl. However, there was, in the same piece, an expert professor who said that it was possible to injure someone by shooting a gun into the air. The two main characters in the show, therefore, couldn't come to a definitive conclusion.
Wait a minute. Rather than shoot a gun, they sent it up and then released it from an altitude.
Yeah.
To see what effect it would have down below.
Yeah.
And they're saying that air... See, I have trouble with the notion of air resistance slowing it enough.
Well, and I think you're dropping it from a dead stop, which is different from the ballistic force of it being launched from the barrel of the gun.
Yeah, because you got momentum.
Depending on what you're talking about, I mean, I'm unlike many progressives and liberals and whatever. I actually know a little bit about guns, not a lot, yeah, but some. And so, for instance, like a 45 caliber semi-automatic handgun is a really slow bullet because it's so big.
Yeah.
And so you might get 900 feet per second out of it. On the other hand, a 9mm semi-auto has a muzzle velocity far faster than that. I mean, if
and
we wanted to, we could.
The charge in these shells are like charge and a half. I've heard.
Well, it just depends on the round.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a hell of a lot more powder in a 357 round than there is in a 9mm Parabellum or a 38 Special round. Because the bullet in the 38 and the bullet in the 357 are roughly the same bullet, and the difference between the 38 Special and the 357 Mag is the size of the casing and the amount of powder you can put behind the projectile.
Yeah.
And so, if for instance, if you're out on the range with a 45, you can see that bullet falling over the greater the distance that, you know, it just, there's not a lot of oomph there, relatively yeah. speaking. Different story entirely. And then, of course, I'm talking about pistols. If you're talking about a rifle, like, let's say, and what do you want to bet this is the likelihood that he went out and decided to shoot off a few rounds of his Freedom Protecting AR-15? Well, the muzzle velocity on an AR-15 round is massive.
Yeah, because you're talking a gun design.
Thousands of, multiple thousands of feet per second at the muzzle.
Yeah, because that's what it's designed to do. That's its performance matrix.
Yeah, I mean, it's designed for warfare. And it's designed to do maximum damage to the human to the human body.
Well, I'm just sorry that it played out that way. The man should have stayed in and celebrated like regular folks celebrate. I mean, hug a friend or get on the phone and call somebody and wish him a happy new year at midnight or whatever. I mean, yeah. I didn't even go out of the house all day yesterday. I don't, I didn't have anything to do or anywhere to go. And I had something that, you know, required me to be here.
Yeah, I had an invite to a house party last night. And so about 9:30, I went over, didn't stay till midnight. Because I didn't want to be on the road at midnight.
Yeah.
Because after midnight, the drunks start going home.
Yeah. If the guns don't get you, the celebratory firing of guns, if that doesn't get you.
And there weren't very many people on the road at all. But maybe this is something that comes with something resembling maturity, Scott. But along about, I started thinking, I don't want to be out on the road at midnight or after midnight because, there's crazy people out there. So I went down, I took a look at the river, sat there, pondered it for a little bit, came home. And, there were cops here and there. But, yeah, I do think about things like that because I've got too many of these stories in front of me of people who didn't think anything was going to happen and then it did.
Well, that's what I mean. The mindset of most people is you wake up in the morning. The furthest thing from your mind is shit happening for most people. There are some people whose lives are so fucked up to begin with, their circumstances, that it's the converse. Shit inevitably happens.
Yeah, and a 5.56 millimeter round, like in the AR-15, Les informs us, travels at has a muzzle velocity of 3,250 feet per second.
Yeah.
That's two-thirds of a mile in a second.
Yeah, not enough to achieve orbit, obviously. Therefore, dangerous to anybody within, somebody could probably figure the radius, given the variables. And you talk about maturity. I'm sure maturity entered into it in my case, but if you go back a certain amount of time, you will find me being one of those stupid younger people who not only was out driving, but had gone someplace, hoisted more than a few, and drove home in the wee hours with one eye closed. Literally, coming down George Washington Parkway back from D.C. into, the Virginia suburbs. I mean, it's in a little Chevy Vega, It's like, how stupid
Jesus,
do you have
death
to be?
Wish.
How stupid do you fucking have to be, Bob? And I certainly was that stupid, and thank the good Lord or guardian angels or just blind luck that, you know, you think, pardon me, think in terms of taking yourself out, taking out another car full of people, running over a fucking pedestrian, yeah. You know, getting pulled over and mouthing off at a cop and getting shot. I mean, any number of bad outcomes could arise, you know? And I stayed in last night. I'll tell you exactly what I did. I've got a friend up in L.A. who does a weekly program about old TV, classic TV, and the people in front and behind the camera. And every New Year's Eve, he does a 6-hour marathon and has famous guests dropping in. And that's kind of been my tradition the last couple of years. So I did that again last night. It was perfectly fine. The only problem was I made my two martinis way too strong, or apparently didn't have enough to eat beforehand, because, I mean, I'm ashamed. I was like just ripped to the tits on the basis of two martinis. You know, I was in no condition. I couldn't have found the keys to the car if I had a car to go out and drive and get more olives or whatever. I would have been in absolutely no shape to do it. I could barely navigate to the kitchen, you know. By the way, I wanted to I've often wondered whatever happened to our friend Thomas, and I'm glad that he is upright and above ground and called in today. I can't remember the last time I heard of him or heard he himself or whatever, and I'm glad he's that he checked in today. You guys were talking about the consequences of non-participation or getting one's nose out of joint in the 2020 election. We ought to just go ahead and borrow a tagline from LBJ's political spots in 1964. Vote on X election day, whatever. The stakes are too high for you to stay home. I don't know which ad agency did those spots, but.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with in your heart, you know, he's right, but in your guts, you know, he's nuts.
Yeah, well, that was, one was Goldwater. I know that. And Johnson didn't play out quite the way we expected him to. But then again, life's funny that way. But what I'm saying is, in reference to what you and Thomas were talking about, people have got to get their head around the fact that the stakes are too high for anybody.
Yeah.
Just to stay
home. And look,
home.
I'm deadly serious about, you know, going gleefully, happily to the polls, because it represents an opportunity to save our to be a patriot, to save our country. Why would you not be excited to be a patriot?
Yeah.
To get a once in a lifetime chance to rid our country of a pestilence in the White House and perhaps even be able to say in your dotage to your little great grandchildren, yeah, once upon a time I helped save my country.
Yeah.
I helped get rid of Donald Trump.
The thing is,
And then maybe if it all plays out right, the minute that you and your dotage say Donald Trump, your little great grandchild will look and go and spit on the ground, because by then everybody will know what a monster he was.
Yeah.
That's enough to give me a smile going to the polls, not holding my goddamn nose, a smile.
Yeah. I mean,
because, you know, I mean, let's rattle it off here. Michael goddamn Bloomberg is better than Donald Trump. Tom Steyer is better than Donald Trump. Vanity candidate Andrew Yang is better than Donald Trump. Marianne fucking crystal-gazing Williamson is better than Donald Trump. And everybody on the Democratic campaign is better than Donald Trump. And I will happily vote for any of them. And anybody else who can't feel that way about the potential, the opportunity to get rid of Donald Trump, well, you need to rethink your priorities.
Well, now,
let me back up just for a second because we've got some background information.
Okay.
Albert from Rhode Island says, Harris County is the home of Houston, Texas. I suspected so. I lived there for years. It does not surprise me that it happened there. Many of the firearms used by Mexican drug cartels are purchased from gun shops in Harris County. So that tells us a little bit.
And now, now that I know the location, I have a niece with her husband and kids who live within hailing distance of Houston. I don't think they're in Harris County, but they're close enough to where they can get there easily. But the mindset of a lot of people down there is such that if it didn't happen in Harris County, it would happen in the neighboring county. There are probably, I'll bet you there are statistics somewhere that we're a little ways into the new year, somebody will run the numbers of all of the incidents that involved injury or death from celebratory gunfire around the country. And I would imagine there are going to be more than one or two. You know?
So do you think maybe we need a... we've got a vaping law now, and they've just changed the age to buy tobacco from 18 to 21. Maybe we need to add something to maybe the ATF or whatever, the gun forms or something. By the way, remind the purchaser of this firearm not to shoot it in the air, no matter how happy or loaded or whatever he is.
Well, you know, like they used to have on the ignition of some cars, you've got to blow into the thing and then punch a combination operate the device.
You did that, deer hunting would cease. If you made a blow and go for guns, deer hunting in the United States would forever cease. Hey, Scott, I got to roll out of here, man.
All right, man. The main thing was the stakes are too high for us to stay home. And take somebody with you.
Yeah, the stakes are too high to stay stupid.
Wait, let me ask you one more thing real quick, because we got sidetracked before. Thinking back to 16, there was like 63 million popular votes for Hillary.
65.8 to 63.
Okay. Plus another million or so for whomever. Okay. Maybe 2 million. What type of turnout should we be expecting this November?
The Republicans will do everything they can to suppress it. But what we've got to preach is massive turnout. Whichever side turns out wins.
Yeah, but it's got to be turnout in the right places too.
Yeah. Apparently, I may have gotten in trouble with Brother Deacon Asa. Marianne Williams says it's better than Trump.
I kind of miss her.
Do you honestly think a person who believes she can put a brain spell on and stop Hurricane Dorian is better than an equally delusional asshole? Well, it's a matter of attitude and goodwill. Let's put it that way and maybe keep it from completely blowing up in my face. But I got to go because I got to get this stuff ready to get it out of the oven and go feed people.
Okay. All right, Bob. Well, take care. Happy New Year, and I hope 2020 is wonderful for you and yours. And
you too. And if there's anything left in that Grey Goose bottle, don't feel bad if you decide to have a New Year's night martini too.
No, there's no fucking way. Because I never get hungover, but I think I've gotten to the age where one will be enough in future years, and even that may be too much.
Oh dear!
I've become absolutely boring. I mean, or maybe I ought to go back to pot or something.
It is legal in your state, you know.
Oh, it is. Yes, I know. I know. All right, man. Well,
all right. Later, Scott. Take care.
All right. Take care, Bob. Bye. Yeah.
Scott calling from San Diego, and it's time to get out of here. Note coming from Robert in Australia: in bed and asleep by 11 p.m. Every New Year's Eve for the past 30 years, I've been in bed and asleep by 11 p.m. I did the whole midnight thing a few times and didn't really enjoy it, and I always wake up the next morning feeling fine. P.S. I did rotating shift work for 18 years, so being in bed and asleep by before 11 p.m., I considered
a joy.
Hear, hear. It certainly does make New Year's morning a hell of a lot more enjoyable. Because, I mean, I was a little late getting to bed, but I bebopped up and I was in here and, you know, I was taking the skin off the back of the jowl and slicing the slices and everything. And I had the apartment filled with that magnificent aroma and yum. So there we are. Again, truncated program this evening for the podcast crew. There's a matching challenge courtesy of Steve from New York on the table of $10. If somebody else will kick in 10, that'll be take us down to $60 to go to finish Bruce's Memorial Challenge. And then hopefully there's six folks with 10. How about six new subscribers at $10 a piece? You know, giving up that not quite a half a pack of Juicy Fruit per program. That would be awesome. We do need new subscribers. Thank you so much, one and all. Happy New Year. Thank you to all of you who keep the program on the air, both as subscribers. Thank you to our Podbean subscribers. Thank you to our PayPal subscribers. Thank you to the folks who kick in a la carte. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever fashion you so do. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll be back for a January 2nd show tomorrow. Curiously, January 2nd. Later, y'all.